Hi, my name is Lowell Kirk, and my new book is called Wild West Village.
Lola Kirk grew up feeling like an outsider in her larger-than-life family full of creatives. In her new memoir titled Wild West Village, she details some of the memories that made her into the woman she is today, an actress and country music singer. I spoke with Lola about growing up in this unique family and how they continue to play a role in her life. From KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network, this is Marginalia. I'm Beth Goulet, and here's my conversation with Lola Kirk. So some of our listeners will recognize you as an actress for your roles in Mozart in the Jungle and Gone Girl and Mistress America. Some will recognize you as a country musician. But in your book, we are introduced to you as Lola, the youngest child in a family of successful artists. Can you introduce us to that family?
So my father was the drummer of Free and Bad Company, Simon Kirk. My mom, Lorraine, owned a vintage boutique that repurposed vintage clothing and kind of made them somehow funkier, called Geminola, which was on Perry Street and outfitted Carrie Bradshaw a couple times. That was pretty cool for me as a diehard Sex and the City fan. My sister Jemima is an actress and a painter, and my other sister Domino is a musician and a doula, and my brother Greg is a photographer, Greg Morris, and a father and a part-time inventor. But we were all obviously very creative and encouraged to be so.
So you write about your family in Wild West Village, which the subtitle is very clear about. It's not a memoir. How would you describe the book for our listeners?
Well, it is a memoir, obviously. the reason the subtitle is not a memoir, unless I win an Oscar, die tragically, or score a country number one, is to kind of poke fun at this idea that someone could only write about their life and their experiences once they've hit certain milestones and career marks. And I disagree with that. As an avid reader of memoirs, I love reading about kind of extraordinary experiences in ordinary lives, or ordinary experiences in extraordinary lives. I'm less interested in the more kind of career retrospective that I think a lot of memoirs can be. That said, I have enjoyed some of those too, such as Jane Fonda's My Life, I believe it's called, and Tatum O'Neill's A Paper Life. But I mean, I do think that my book, maybe it's just a little more pretentious than those. My book is a collection more than a kind of like autobiography of stories that I believe have some value, either just to me or that they could have value to somebody else who has experienced similar things.
I guess that readers can relate to some of your experiences, particularly feeling like an outsider in your family, but some of your other memories might seem outlandish to some. At what point growing up did you realize that you have something that so many others did not?
I think I realized as soon as I was conscious that my life was different, that my family was different. And while I'm able to embrace that now, as a kid, I just wanted to be normal. I mean, I think that when you're different, it's almost like a primal survival instinct. It's like you stand out too much. And now, of course, like I do want to stand out. I mean, at a young age, I was like, no, standing out is the thing that, you know, I was drawn to. I think you don't really want to be an actress or be in the public eye because you're just like everybody else. You want to be unique. But for a long time, I just wanted my name to be like Rachel, and I wished my parents were like accountants.
One of my favorite essays in the collection, titled Never Learn Not to Love, is about your eighth grade term paper. And while I'd love to have you read the essay, I'm afraid we don't have enough time. Would you mind telling our listeners about it, though?
Sure. I'm so glad that that you like Never Learn Not to Love. That was an essay that my editor like really encouraged me to be transparent about who the subject was. I spend a lot of time in the book. Well, not a lot of time, but I was very, very conscientious to be quite anonymous about who I'm writing about, because I wanted the focus to be on the experience and the writing rather than the subject. But here, it felt important to share that it's about me interviewing a grown-up in my orbit about a historical event. And that grown-up happened to be Joan Didion. Who I just thought of as my friend's old aunt. So, yeah, that interactions like that were common throughout my childhood.
I want to talk about your venture into country music. It's probably a surprise to some because you were born in England and live in New York, or lived in New York. What draws you to country music? And I have to believe it's something more than three chords and the truth.
Absolutely. I feel drawn to country music because of the way that it's able to synthesize some of the most complicated, big feelings that humans can have into some of the most succinct and simple statements. And that is something that I believe is what I'm searching for. I mean, I'm a very verbose person, so I could talk ad nauseum about the way that I feel, but in country music, I find I don't have to. I can just listen. And a song that, is about something so far from me can just feel like it hits very, very close to home.
In the chapter titled Rock Legend, you described meeting your brother for the first time and the relationship you two shared throughout the rest of his life. Would you be willing to talk a bit about your brother and what that experience was like for you? Because I felt so much love in that essay.
So, yeah, I discovered that I had a younger brother when I was a teenager who was a I guess I'm actually struggling to figure out how to talk about this on air. I feel like it's maybe something that's more fitted to just reading about. But what I can say about the chapter Rock Legend is that it's about discovering a sibling I did not know that I had. And this sibling had a very, very different life experience than me and the siblings I was raised with. And he struggled a lot with health issues. And while I felt like the kind of precedent in my family was to be creative, to be beautiful, to be successful, when I started a relationship with my brother, when I got to have a relationship with my brother, I got to understand that people were lovable without those things, that you could be lovable without the kind of conventional success and beauty that I had been raised to seek. So, that relationship is incredibly important to me and really, really opened my mind to a deeper understanding of what it is to love and be loved.
You're very honest and raw, particularly when it comes to mistakes you've made, sexual experiences, and maybe some flaws you see in your family members. Did you have any reservations about detailing intimate aspects of your life, or did that feel like an essential part of your story?
I certainly had reservations about detailing more intimate details about my life, but I think that those are the details that I enjoy reading when I read other people's work and the ones that make me feel close to an author and to other people. So it felt like if I'm going to write this book, what's the point in glossing over the interesting parts?
I saw a video you filmed with Simon and Schuster where you were talking about a party where David Bowie had asked for an ashtray and your sister offered her hands to him. And she was also on the couch in that video and was able to provide context to the Bowie story. This is a memoir. In the traditional sense, a memoir is a collection of memories written by the person themselves. As others read your book, are they offering their own context or contradicting your memories?
Yes, a very large part of my experience of sharing my book with some of the people who I write about has been people being like, that's not the way it happened. And that makes sense. I'm sure if I read a story that someone wrote about, like a character like me or me, I would say that's not the way I remember it. But I think that that's, the difference between a memoir and a more kind of factual document, like a biography. So much of a memoir is about the way the author experiences the memory, not, the facts of the memory itself. So, while I want to be sensitive to the way that other people experienced things we shared, I don't think that that's really what the point of a memoir is.
In an essay you wrote about Rose's wedding, and Rose was your nanny, I noted this line. Their reception was short-lived, a couple of Coronas on the couch in front of the telly, which they drank quickly, knowing well my mother's intolerance for beer and sitting down. other people relaxing always made her anxious. And I noted it at the time because I found it interesting. But then later, when I was looking through your Instagram, I noted this line in your bio. I sing country, act, plus wrote a book because I bore relaxation. Do you think your mother influenced this, or is it just part of your DNA?
No, I definitely hear my mother's voice in my head telling me that the house has to be immaculate, like pretty much all day long. And I'm very, very grateful for that because it has made me quite tidy and organized. So, you know, there are silver linings to everything. And, you know, my mom has an incredible energy for life. The things that my mom can accomplish in a day continue to inspire me every day of my own life. So, yes, I would love to learn how to relax a little bit more. And I am learning. You know, I think that it's kind of what I was saying about my little brother earlier. Like, I believed that you were loved because of what you did, not because of who you were. And I know that my family imparted that knowledge to me out of their own understanding of love, not because they're bad people. But I wish for all of us to be able to relax a little bit more. And yeah, my kind of goal for for this year is to get better at being instead of better at doing.
That same Instagram bio also had a phone number and says, text me. Is that your number? Do people text you?
I mean, maybe.
They're probably like me and they were afraid to.
I mean, don't worry. I won't send you like, you know, anything weird.
Now, I know this is a memoir and it can be about a point in time and not necessarily about an entire life. And it seems like your story is very much unfinished. Why is now the time for this book, and will there be future books?
I don't necessarily know why now is the time for this book. I ask myself that all the time. As I said, as I state, you know, I haven't won an Oscar and I haven't died tragically, fortunately, and I don't have a country number one. So in a traditional sense, I share in the confusion of like, why is this person writing a book right now? But I do really think that hearing other people's perspectives is something that has been incredibly important to me in my life and has helped me understand, you know, things about myself and the world. So I think that I think if you have something to say and you want to say it, then by all means, go for it. And I hope that I continue to have things to say. I mean, sometimes I have nothing to say, so I don't say anything. Or I do. I keep talking like I am right now and try and make it sound like I have something to say. But yeah, I hope to write more books, of course.
Well, the book is Wild West Village. Lola Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That was Lola Kirk, author of the book Wild West Village, which was published by Simon & Schuster. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita and is part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen. Our producers are Haley Krausen and Katie Lanning, and our marketing coordinator is Carly Cooper. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.